اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم الرحمن الرحيم ذو الجلال والإكرام، وأتوب إليه. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. اللهم إني أسألك برحمتك التي وسعت كل شيء وبقوتك التي قهرت بها كل شيء وخضع لها كل شيء وذل لها كل شيء، وبجبروتك التي غلبت بها كل شيء، وبعزتك التي لا يقوم لها شيء، وبعظمتك التي ملأت كل شيء، وبسلطانك الذي على كل شيء، وبوجهك الباقي بعد فناء كل شيء، وبأسمائك التي ملأت أركان كل شيء، وبعلمك الذي أحاط بكل شيء، وبنور وجهك الذي أضاء له كل شيء. يا نور يا قدوس، يا نور يا قدوس، يا نور يا قدوس، يا أول الأولين ويا آخر الآخرين. اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تهتك العصام، اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل النقم، اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تغير النعم، اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تحبس الدعاء، اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل البلاء، اللهم اغفر لي كل ذنب أذنبته وكل خطيئة أخطأتها، اللهم إني أتقرب إليك بذكرك وأستشفع بك إلى نفسك، وأسألك بجودك أن تدنيني من قربك وأن توزعني شكرك وأن تلهمني ذكرك. اللهم إني أسألك سؤال خاضع متذلل خاشع أن تسامحني وترحمني وتجعلني بقسمك راضيا قانعا وفي جميع الأحوال متواضعا. اللهم وأسألك سؤال من اشتدت فاقته وأنزل بك عند الشدائد حاجته وعظم فيما عندك رغبته، اللهم عظم سلطانك وعلى مكانك وخفي مكروك وظهر أمرك وغلب قهرك وجرت قدرتك ولا يمكن الفرار من حكومتك. اللهم لا أجد لذنوبي غافرا ولا لقبائحي ساترا ولا لشيء من عملي القبيح بالحسن مبدلا غيرك، لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك وبحمدك ظلمت نفسي ظلمت نفسي ظلمت نفسي وتجرأت بجهلي وسكنت إلى قديم ذكرك لي ومنك علي. اللهم مولاي كم من قبيح سترت وكم من فادح من البلاء أقلت وكم من عثار وقيت وكم من مكروه دفعت وكم من ثناء جميل لست أهلا له نشرت. اللهم عظم بلائي وأفرط بي سوء حالي وقصرت بي أعمالي وقعدت بي أغلالي وحبسني عن نفعي بعد أملي وخدعتني الدنيا بغرورها ونفسي بجنايتها ونطالي. يا سيدي فأسألك بعزتك ألا يحجب عنك دعائي سوء عملي وفعالي، ولا تفضحني بخفي ما اطلعت عليه من سري، ولا تعاجلني بالعقوبة على ما عملته في خلواتي من سوء فعلي وإساءتي ودوام تفريطي وجهالتي وكثرة شهواتي وغفلتي، وكن اللهم بعزتك لي في كل الأحوال رؤوفا، وعلي في جميع الأمور عطوفا. إلهي وربي من لي غيرك، أسأله كشف ضري والنظر في أمري. إلهي ومولاي، أجريت علي حكما اتبعت فيه هوى نفسي ولم أحترس فيه من تزيين عدوي، فغرني بما أهوى وأسعده على ذلك القضاء، فتجاوزت بما جرى علي من ذلك بعض حدودك وخالفت بعض أوامرك، فلك الحمد علي في جميع ذلك، ولا حجة لي فيما جرى علي فيه قضاؤك، وألزمني حكمك وبلاؤك. وقد أتيتك يا إلهي بعد تقصيري وإسرافي على نفسي، معتذرا نادما منكسرا مستقيلا مستغفرا منيبا مقرا مذعنا معترفا، لا أجد مفرا مما كان مني ولا مفزعا أتوجه إليه في أمري غير قبولك عذري وإدخالك إياي في سعة رحمتك. اللهم فاقبل عذري وارحم شدة ضري، وفكني من شد وثاقي. يا رب ارحم ضعف بدني، يا رب ارحم ضعف بدني، يا رب ارحم ضعف بدني ورقة جلدي ودقة عظمي. يا من بدأ خلقي وذكري وتربيتي وبري وتغذيتي، هبني لابتداء كرمك وسالف برك بي يا إلهي وسيدي وربي. أتراك معذبي بنارك بعد توحيدك، وبعد من طوى عليه قلبي من معرفتك، ولهج به لساني من ذكرك، واعتقده ضميري من حبك، وبعد صدق اعترافي ودعائي خاضعا لربوبيتك، هيهات أنت أكرم من أن تضيع من ربيته، أو تبعد من أدنيته، أو تشرد من آويته، أو تسلم إلى البلاء من كفيته ورحمته. وليت شعري يا سيدي وإلهي ومولاي أتسلط النار على وجوه خرت لعظمتك ساجدة، وعلى ألسن نطقت بتوحيدك صادقة وبشكرك مادحة، وعلى قلوب اعترفت بإلهيتك محققة، وعلى ضمائر حوت من العلم بك حتى صارت خاشعة، وعلى جوارح سعت إلى أوطان تعبدك طائعة، وأشارت باستغفارك مذعنا. ما هكذا الظن بك، ولا أخبرنا بفضلك عنك يا كريم يا رب، وأنت تعلم ضعفي عن قليل من بلاء الدنيا وعقوباتها وما يجري فيها من المكاره على أهلها، على أن ذلك بلاء ومكروه، قليل مكثوب، يسير بقاؤه، قصير مدته، فكيف احتمالي لبلاء الآخرة وجليل وقوع المكاره فيها وهو بلاء تطول مدته ويدوم مقامه ولا يخفف عن أهله، لأنه لا يكون إلا عن غضبك وانتقامك وسخطك، وهذا ما لا تقوم له السماوات والأرض. يا سيدي فكيف لي وأنا عبدك الضعيف الذليل الحقير المسكين المستكين؟ يا إلهي وربي وسيدي ومولاي، لأي الأمور إليك أشكو ولما منها أضج وأبكي؟ لأليم العذاب وشدته أم لطول البلاء ومدته؟ فلئن صيرتني للعقوبات مع أعدائك وجمعت بيني وبين أهل بلائك وفرقت بيني وبين أحبائك وأوليائك، فهبني يا إلهي وسيدي ومولاي وربي، صبرت على عذابك فكيف أصبر على فراقك؟ وهبني صبرت على حر نارك فكيف أصبر عن النظر إلى كرامتك؟ أم كيف أسكن في النار ورجائي عفوك؟ فبعزتك يا سيدي ومولاي أقسم صادقا، لئن تركتني ناطقا لأضجن إليك بين أهلها ضجيج العاملين، ولا أصرخن إليك صراخ المستصرخين، ولا أبكين عليك بكاء الفاقدين، ولا أنادينك أين كنت يا ولي المؤمنين، يا غاية آمال العارفين، يا غياث المستغيثين، يا غياث المستغيثين، يا غياث المستغيثين، يا حبيب قلوب الصادقين، ويا إله العالمين. أفتراك سبحانك يا إلهي وبحمدك تسمع فيها صوت عبد مسلم سجن فيها بمخالفته وذاق طعم عذابها بمعصيته وحبس بين أطباقها بجرمه وجريرته وهو يضج إليك ضجيجا مؤمل لرحمتك ويناديك بلسان أهل توحيدك ويتوسل إليك بربوبيتك يا مولاي. فكيف يبقى في العذاب وهو يرجو ما سلف من حلمك؟ أم كيف تؤلمه النار وهو يأمل فضلك ورحمتك؟ أم كيف يحرقه لهيبها وأنت تسمع صوته وترى مكانه؟ أم كيف يشتمل عليه زفيرها وأنت تعلم ضعفه؟ أم كيف يتقلقل بين أطباقها وأنت تعلم صدقه؟ أم كيف تزجره زبانيتها وهو يناديك يا رب؟ أم كيف يرجو فضلك في عتقه منها فتتركه فيها؟ هيهات، ما ذلك الظن بك؟ ولا المعروف من فضلك ولا مشبه لما عاملت به الموحدين من برك وإحسانك. فباليقين أقطع لولا ما حكمت به من تعذيب جاحديك وقضيت به من إخلاد معانديك لجعلت النار كلها بردا وسلاما، وما كان لأحد فيها مقرا ولا مقاما. لكنك تقدست أسماؤك، أقسمت أن تملأها من الكافرين من الجنة والناس أجمعين، وأن تخلد فيها المعاندين. وأنت جل ثناؤك قلت مبتدئا وتطولت بالإنعام متكرما. أفمن كان مؤمنا كمن كان فاسقا لا يستوون؟ إلهي وسيدي، فأسألك بالقدرة التي قدرتها وبالقضية التي حتمتها وحكمتها وغلبت من عليه أجريتها أن تهب لي في هذه الليلة وفي هذه الساعة كل جرم أجرمته وكل ذنب أذنبته وكل قبيح أسررته وكل جهل عملته، كتمته أو أعلنته، أخفيته أو أظهرته، وكل سيئة أمرت بإثباتها الكرام الكاتبين الذين وكلتهم بحفظ ما يكون مني وجعلتهم شهودا علي مع جوارحي، وكنت أنت الرقيب علي من ورائهم والشاهد لما خفي عنهم، وبرحمتك أخفيت وبفضلك سترت، وأن توفر حظي من كل خير أنزلت أو إحسان فضلت أو بر نشرت أو رزق بسطت أو ذنب تغفره أو خطأ تستره. يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا إلهي وسيدي ومولاي ومالك رقي، يا من بيده ناصيتي، يا عليما بضري ومسكنتي، يا خبيرا بفقري وفاقتي، يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب. أسألك بحقك وقدسك وأعظم صفاتك وأسمائك أن تجعل أوقاتي من الليل والنهار بذكرك معمورا وبخدمتك موصولا وأعمالي عندك مقبولة، حتى تكون أعمالي وأورادي كلها وردان واحدا، وحالي في خدمتك سرمدا. يا سيدي يا من عليه معولي، يا من إليه شكوت أحوالي، يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي قو على خدمتك جوارحي، واشدد على العزيمة جوانحي، وهب لي الجد في خشيتك، والدوام في الاتصال بخدمتك، حتى أسرح إليك في ميادين السابقين، وأسرع إليك في البارزين، وأشتاق إلى قربك في المشتاقين، وأدنو منك دنو المخلصين، وأخافك مخافة الموقنين، وأجتمع في جوارك مع المؤمنين. اللهم ومن أرادني بسوء فأريد، ومن كادني فكيد، واجعلني من أحسن عبيدك نصيبا عندك، وأقربهم منزلة منك، وأخصهم زلفة لديك، فإنه لا ينال ذلك إلا بفضلك، وجد لي بجودك، واعطف علي بمجدك، واحفظني برحمتك، واجعل لساني بذكرك لهجاء، وقلبي بحبك متيما، ومن علي بحسن إجابتك، وأقلني عثرتي، واغفر زلتي، فإنك قضيت على عبادك بعبادتك، وأمرتهم بدعائك، وضمنت لهم الإجابة، فإليك يا ربي نصبت وجهي، وإليك يا ربي مددت يدي، فبعزتك استجب لي دعائي وبلغني مناي، ولا تقطع من فضلك رجائي، واكفني شر الجن والإنس من أعدائي، يا سريع الرضا، يا سريع الرضا، يا سريع الرضا، اغفر لمن لا يملك إلا الدعاء، فإنك فعال لما تشاء، يا من اسمه دواء وذكره شفاء وطاعته غناء، ارحم من رأس ماله الرجاء وسلاحه البكاء، يا سابغ النعم، يا دافع النقم، يا نور المستوحشين في الظلم، يا عالما لا يعلم، صل على محمد وآل محمد، وافعل بنا ما أنت أهله، وصلى الله على رسوله والأئمة الميامين من آله، وسلم تسليما كثيرا.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، بعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran repeatedly mentions that He is the one who not only created us, but is also the one who is consistently and constantly providing us with our provisions, our sustenance, the aspects that we are aware of, the aspects that we are not aware of, on a material level, on a spiritual level, on all aspects of our existence, all aspects of our beings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who takes care of that. This is something, as I said, which is repeatedly mentioned in the Holy Quran in different ways, different wordings. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the people who made the decision to take the lives of their offspring while they were still babies, and they did so because the way they saw it, with their understanding, with their foresight of, based on what they had at the time when they had the child, is that they will not be able to provide for this child. They will not be able to provide sustenance for the child or for themselves. Sometimes out of passion, concern, out of their love for the child, thinking that, let me end the life of this child because I don't have enough to provide them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, why do you do this? نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُهُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ We are the ones that provide them and you. For those who are concerned about the child, we have these types of concerns. People making wrong decisions, thinking that out of concern for that other person, that other being, they want to make that choice. And it's a very wrong choice, very evil choice. Why allow them to suffer? A child has disabilities, or they know that the child will have disabilities. So, well, you know, for the sake of the child, they're going to be going through a lot of difficulties. We hear this. When you know the child is going to have disabilities, then they say, out of love for the child, what type of love is this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Why? What are you worried about? نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُهُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ He says, what are you thinking about? You're not in charge. That's not your decision to make. I created your children with whatever abilities or disabilities I have given them in this world, which is limited to this world. Next life doesn't have these disabilities. I am giving for the child, there's certain tests and certain rizq and sustenance. For the parents, there's certain rizq, certain trials. You're supposed to do what I tell you. And hereafter, you will see the result of all of this. The ones who chose to make that very wrong decision of taking the life of that child, thinking it's out of love and concern for them. We hear this. These are different examples. The Quran talks about parents who took the life of their child thinking that based on what they have, they are not able to provide for them. God says, why do you do that? نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُهُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ We provide sustenance for them and you. For the ones who took it out of selfishness, they thought there were the other people too. There are parents that make that choice. They don't care about the child. Like, I don't want pro-choice. They call it pro-choice too. They don't call it pro-murder, pro-killing. It's called pro-choice. You get a nice word there to make it this ugly deed of taking the life of a human being just because you are the parent. You think you have a right for your selfish reasons to take the life of this child. Back then, it was out of, when they saw they didn't have enough, a family who was dealing with poverty, they felt, if I have this child, or people who were on the verge of poverty, they felt, if I have this child, I won't be able to sustain them, and we'll be spread too thin, we won't be able to provide and keep our face high in society. We will lose funds. Another mouth to feed means we won't have enough to look presentable to others. They also took their children's lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what are you doing? نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكُمْ وَإِيَّهُمْ He replaces first, in the first case where the concern was first and foremost for the child, he said, we provide sustenance for them and you. And for those who are concerned more about themselves, he says, we provide sustenance for you and them. The adverbs excuse me, the pronouns are, the order of them is different, the ones they refer to, the verse does. This is one of the contexts in which the important message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being the one that provides is given to us. There are a number of other cases as well. For example, another case, which is hopefully a case that we don't commonly go through, but it is a reality, and it isn't something that is ever going to leave our communities. It's something that is allowed, and there are times where it is the correct decision to make, and that is the topic of divorce. When the topic of divorce and separation occurs, one of the things that causes spouses to start getting concerned and they start acting and behaving in very wrong ways is their concern of after their separation. Different people in different ways. For example, a woman, a wife, could be concerned about her sustenance. Let's say they've been together for 5 years, 10 years. She spent time at home. She raised children. Now they've come to a point they want to part ways. And it's, let's say, the correct decision. There are cases where that's the best decision. They shouldn't have even dragged it on that long. But now it's better than cut it now than to keep it going, because they just can't. The Quran says, the principle is this. When is it a good decision? The Quran says this. If you've tried and you see you're not able to implement God's teachings in regard to your relationship with your partner in life. If you've tried and tried, it's just not working out the way the other person is and the way I am. It's that combination is such that I can't fulfill my obligations. I have certain obligations. I can't fulfill that. You try and try. It doesn't work. The Quran says it's a time where you should decide to part ways. You can't live together if that's going to mean sin. If it's going to mean that I'm going to live with a person that God says your obligations to do are to do A, B, and C. I'm going to continue living with them without doing A, B, and C. Okay. It's better not to do that because it means a life of disobedience. This is very important. The Quran says try to make it work. Try to make it work in a way where you're not committing sins. وَالصُّلْحُ خَيْرٌ in Surah, I believe it's Surah An-Nisa, one of the instances. It talks about one of the partners in life, one of the spouses, compromising on their right in order to make it work so that the other partner who is not fulfilling that right, because it's the right of the first partner, if that partner gives up that right, then the other party is not committing sins, is not disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Quran says, try to make it work. Go as far as even giving up some of your rights to make this life such that the two parties, the two spouses, can live together without committing sins, without disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But after giving it all the effort that you can, getting other community members, the Quran says, get a party from her side, from his side, try to make it work. You try that as well. It doesn't work. All right, that's better. The Quran says this is a time where you should not continue living together. Anyhow, back to the main point. She sees, he sees the best option is to move on, to end this relationship. That's what Islam says, like I said, in the cases that the Quran prescribes for the two parties to decide to end that relationship. There are certain concerns that arise. For instance, for a woman, this is there are many times that a woman can be providing for herself and for the family. We have those cases, but in some cases, as I said, a housewife who has not been providing, she may have had a degree as well, but because of the 5-10 years, she decided to stay home and be a mother. Now she has this, and then those concerns come and she thinks that, well, I stayed home and I didn't make a living for these reasons, for these good reasons, for these Islamic reasons. I wanted to be a mother. I wanted to dedicate my time to that, to my responsibilities. Now if we're parting ways, I read the Risala, I ask ulama, I ask mujtahideen, they say that whatever is his, he doesn't have an obligation to give. You can't take any by force, even if the court system allows you. Islam doesn't allow you. And you can't take it or force him to take it using those measures as well. It's not going to be halal, even if you take it, even if the court system here says 50-50. That's what the law is. If he's not okay with it, it's not going to be halal. Of course, if he agrees to it in a contract, in a legal Islamic contract at the beginning of it, that's a different scenario. But a basic marriage, which the two parties don't usually talk about that, what happens is, according to the Islamic law, he is not obligated to give anything. Okay, and she gets worried, she gets concerned. I don't have a house, I don't have a job, I don't have this, I don't have that. The Quran in Surah At-Talaq, in the chapter on divorce, mentions these lines, which are again reminders. This is a case. We're not trying to, if people unfortunately sometimes have these ideas, that you use ideology to try to get a person to accept oppression. No. Oppression, which is dhulm, which opposes justice, or again is the opposite of justice in adl, is whatever God says is wrong. Dhulm is whatever God says is wrong. Whatever God says a person has a right over the other is their right over the other. And violating that right is oppression, is dhulm, is transgression. But if God says you don't have a right, then that not giving what is not a right of the other person is not violation of their right. So it's not oppression. The thing is, based on the wrong laws of the West, based on the illegal laws of the West, where there is a right for a wife to have that sum, half of whatever it is, split everything 50-50 in many states and perhaps countries, people think that is a right. Now, people have come to understand that that is a right. And then when Islam says it isn't, they think this is oppression. No, what God says is right. Now, the worry, the concern causes a person who says, I'm Muslim, who says, I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's law, and I believe that there is no law but His. That's what La ilaha illallah means. If anybody else has a right to obligate someone else to do something and they would have to listen to them, they would be an ilah, independent of God, if you think. This legal system or any legal system, if you think that they have the right to tell your husband, your wife, your child, your parent, your whoever, another person, whomever it may be, to give you something, force them to give you something that they don't want, that means you believe they have the right to be God. La ilaha illallah, being a Muslim means I don't believe in that. A person who's a Muslim, who says I believe in this, because of the concern they have, the worry they have of who's going to provide for me, where will I get my sustenance from, where am I going to live, I'm going to be homeless on the streets, I don't have any way of income, I don't have anything. That causes a person to get worried, and those worries and concerns cause them to practically get involved with kufr. In the case that we mentioned, to get the legal system here, to force that husband of theirs, or that spouse of theirs, or that whoever it is, to give them what Islam says you don't have the right to force the other person to get. And as much as people say, look, brother, sister, this is not Islamic, this isn't right, you don't have a right, it's going to be haram money, they move forward with it. Why? This worry, this concern. In Surah At-Talaq, where Allah gives these laws that when you part ways, whatever is yours is yours. Whatever is not yours is not yours. You part ways. You take what's yours with you, you leave what's not yours behind. Nothing gets split because of divorce. concern here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says these words in this context. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Whoever goes by, who is careful of God and what He says, taqwa means that. Whoever is concerned about what God says, I'm worried about my sustenance, but God says don't take this route. That is more of a concern. Taqwa means that I'm worried about what God says. I also have, as a human being with weak iman, this is because of weakness in iman. If I have full iman, if I see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's presence, if I learn from Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha, that when her husband Amir al-Mu'mineen said to her, why didn't you ask Allah for sustenance when there wasn't material sustenance being provided from the normal means? Why didn't you ask? Fatima al-Zahra salamullahi alayha says, shaghalatni ladhatu hudurih an mas'alatih. I was too busy enjoying the presence of Allah to ask Him for any sustenance. Person who sees God's presence, His involvement, His providing sustenance, sees everything as God's creation, God's manifestation, they wouldn't even have that worry, that concern. People like me who have a weakness in my belief, I say I believe and I do want to believe, but it's not there. And that's why I have these concerns. God says, if that worry comes, you're more worried about God and what He says. You look, He says, don't take that route. Like, okay, but what do I do for this? God says, I will provide for you. يَرْزُقْهُ. God will provide. You up to this point were looking at sustenance being provided to you by Allah through a specific route, through a specific means, through a specific intermediary. There's someone that God sent your rizq, your sustenance to you through that person. If it was your husband, your father, your mother, your wife, your whomever it was, that is the person you see. It's actually God that provided you through them. You expect it to come through them. Once that's taken away, you're worried and concerned. What am I going to... God says, if you listen to what I said, you're concerned about what I say, you try your best to go by what that is, what I've said is, I will provide to you through a means, an intermediary, a medium that you don't expect. You're looking, I don't have any medium that I can see and I can expect. God says, don't worry. There are those that you don't expect. I will provide through them. You're not supposed to know that. You're not. And then it says, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Rely on Allah. Why are you relying on your husband? Who said you're supposed to rely on your husband? That's shirk. Not that, God forbid, a person leaves Islam in the sense of, you know, being a kafir and that's, but it is shirk. It's a layer of shirk in my belief. If I rely on my husband's wallet, on my wife's, if the relationship is the other way, for whatever reason. Because the responsibility Islamically is on the shoulders of the husband to provide. Even if she has loads of money, it's still his responsibility. بِمَا أَنْفَقُوا. Surah An-Nisa. الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ بِمَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ وَبِمَا أَنْفَقُوا. The responsibility of a man is to take care of his spouse. One of the ways is material, financial. It's his responsibility, his obligation. God says it's his obligation, but He tells you, don't rely on Him. I told Him it's His obligation. I'm the one that gives you sustenance. He dies, or He says, for even a wrong reason, He decides, I want to divorce her. Don't worry. Don't say, oh, you're doing this, I'm going to take... Don't worry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. The result of understanding tawheed, understanding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that provides everything, every bit of it, not just the oxygen that no one's selling me today, not just the blood that I'm using, my organs that I'm using, that are all functioning better than any device you buy, any best car you buy, everything has got a short lifespan, a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. This body is functional for 2,500 years in some cases, if Allah wants. You keep drinking and eating from the same throat, you use the same teeth. Even when He takes those teeth away, you still continue to eat. Your systems, your organs are still functional. And He's made it in a way where you can make, you can think of this and create ways where you can replace those teeth with other teeth. That's God's system. That's God's provisions that He has provided. The medication is His provision. Every bit of it, the ones that we see are out of our control, and He's providing the gravity that everything is related to. The way the atoms function, the subatomic particles function, molecules function. All that physical world fused together and functioning together in this way. All of that and the ones that we see human beings provide, like medication, care, like money, like working for this person, getting a salary, and so on and so on. All of that, Tawheed means this: no one other than God provides. It's only Allah. The result of that belief, that understanding, can be tawakkul ala Allah, can be relying only on Allah. Again, there's something that needs to be corrected here. We say, rely on Allah. All Muslims rely on Allah. The problem is we rely on other than Allah as well. Like, do this dua, ask Allah. Oh, there's a certain level of tawakkul there that I'm asking Him. I think He can do something. The problem is that's little in my mind. I rely more on all these other means. The problem is tawheed is not there. I do think these other means, these other people, these other things are what's going to provide me. Tawheed means no, none other than Allah. If anything comes and brings me anything, it's Allah creating that person and sending them that very specific moment in time to come with that very specific thing that they're giving and giving it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tawheed will lead to tawakkul in a tawheedi way. Tawakkul on Allah in a way where fahuwa hasbuh. If we don't have that tawheed, brothers and sisters, we can't do tawakkul on Allah in a tawheedi way. Again, when the Quran says, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ, in this case, it says whoever relies on Allah, God is sufficient. The result of that is, there is no one else you need to rely on. In other verses, it's more explicit on that. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُتَوَكِّلُونَ. Anyone who relies, and everyone, all creation relies on something. God says, anyone who relies, عَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ. They should rely only on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one should rely on anyone or anything else. We are in need of this form of tawakkul, but this tawakkul cannot be achieved without tawheed, without understanding tawheed conceptually. And whenever these worries come, concerns come, say, okay, but God told me to do this, and He is the only one that provides, so I don't have any worry. Where is it going to come from? This is an instance of reliance. Generally, the idea of tawakkul, at least the first stages of it, all deal with our material needs. Our material needs. Because tawakkul goes beyond that. But the basic level that we are all in need of is tawakkul for material needs, to be able to make progress. For our social, political movement of Islam, for preparation for the 12th Imam, we need to have this form of tawakkul, relying only on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and on nothing else. No one else. This doesn't mean we don't buy good equipment. This doesn't mean we don't look for good equipment. It doesn't mean that we don't look for other people that are like-minded. It doesn't mean we don't work with other people who are like-minded. It doesn't mean we don't form organizations. It doesn't mean any of that. It means each individual not relying on any of that. They do it as their taklif. I go find other people that, based on my understanding, are like-minded. Do I rely on them? Never. We work together, we sit together, we discuss things, we talk about what's right, we make that decision, we do all of that. Reliance in my heart is not on them, it's only on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Result is where? Result is when everybody abandons Amirul Mu'mineen continues going the right path. He's not relying on them. Imam al-Husayn, when everybody abandons him, he continues doing the right work. He didn't rely on them. Reliance is a different thing. It's in the heart. These shouldn't get confused. You get the right equipment. Do you rely on it? No. If you don't have the equipment, will you stop? No, I'll still do whatever is possible. That means is taken away. Amir al-Mu'mineen was responsible to guide the ummah. Okay. In order to form government, there's a certain public involvement, social involvement, community involvement, other people's involvement is required. God has said, I want you to do it this way. And that's out of my control. You go and try, you speak, you talk. If they come, one taklif is there. They don't come, is his taklif to guide the ummah over? No. To whatever degree it's possible for you now, you have to continue it. So start working on whatever else is available. Go do your taklif. Amir al-Mu'mineen did, salamullah alayh. Imam al-Husayn did, Imam al-Mujtaba did. When he had government, his taklif was to guide the ummah. Government was taken away. What happens? He still has the taklif to guide the ummah. Those means are taken away. All means are not taken away. That's when, if all means are taken away, that's when a person leaves this material realm, death. You don't have any material responsibilities any longer. Don't rely on any of them. This is our problem. We rely on means, we rely on people, we rely on equipment, we rely on funds, on resources. If we don't have them, we sit idly, we don't do it. Every time something huge is mentioned, the global government of the 12th Imam, how are we going to do it? I don't know how we're going to do it. I don't think anyone knows how specifically we're going to do it. That doesn't mean we don't have an obligation to move towards it. Start thinking whatever is possible, start doing it. But how is this possible? You have all these tyrants around. Again, you're thinking that if we don't have ABC, we can't do it. Let's sit idly. No. If we're told, انتظروا الفرج صباحا ومساء, expect the faraj day and night, that means it needs to be on your mind. That means it needs to be something that you work towards every day, from morning to night. You have an imam that you're responsible towards. The thought process that I don't have these means, I don't have a connection with the imam, I don't have this, I don't have that. Therefore, the result is, okay, I'll just dedicate my life to, let's bring up our children, let's raise, I don't know, money, help this project, help that project. You have to think of the 12th Imam. We have to work. Every activity that we have for a mu'min, for a Shia of the Ahlul Bayt, everything that they are doing, they have to understand how that falls into work for the 12th Imam. How that's a means towards accomplishing the 12th Imam's goal. If you're working, fine, you need to work. Understand how, while you're working, whatever profession you're working, If it's based on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's laws, that profession, that activity, that work of yours is a step towards the coming of the Imam. Do it with that intention after understanding it. When we think we don't have the means to do anything, we don't even think about any of that. When you start thinking that, no, I have to do and I'm going to rely on Allah, then you can start thinking, all right, every activity in my life, is my sleep important for the coming of the Imam? I look at Islam, yes, that's something that I need to do. Is my exercise important? Yes. If I do it in this way, I don't overdo it, I don't underdo it, yes, that's good. For this reason, that me having a healthy body is important for the coming of the Imam. I do it for that purpose. I hold Dua Kumail programs, we hold Muharram programs. I understand how that's supposed to be in order for it to help the cause of the Imam. I do it in that way with that intention. I form a family with the same thought process. I have children with the same thought process. I raise the children with the same thought process. And all of that, once it's connected to the 12th Imam, then all of it is connected to Allah. All of it is ibadah of Allah. Then every second of our life will be an ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we have tawakkul on Allah, it will affect how we make decisions. It will affect how we see our lives. This is perhaps one of the reasons Amirul Mu'mineen Salamullah Alayhi says, Al-Iman lahu arkanun arba'ah. There are four pillars of faith. The second one is At-Tawakkul ala Allah. If you want to have an iman that makes you an abd of Allah, the Quran says, "Innama khalaqtul jinna wal ins," or "Wama khalaqtul jinna wal ins illa liya'budun." The sole purpose for a human being is ibadah of Allah. If we spend our life in anything but that, we have wasted it. This is what this verse means. We want to move towards where every aspect of our life is ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Willingly, I want to do what He wants me to do. Every bit of it, my sleep, my food, my whatever it is. Iman is a foundation for that. If you want to have a form of iman that would allow you for your life to be entirely worship of Allah, entirely ibadah of Allah, you are in need of tawakkul. A person who doesn't have tawakkul doesn't only rely on Allah. This is what we mean. I keep repeating it in that way because we have kept hearing that tawakkul is relying on Allah. It's relying only on Allah. This is what is intended. Only on Allah. Nothing, no one else. With that thought process, when that tawakkul is there, then when you look at Islamic instructions, it seems different. Okay, I have this obligation, I have that obligation. But I don't have this, but I don't have that. Doesn't matter. I have to work towards them. It allows a person to start thinking along those lines and then asking or reading and seeing how all of those aspects come together. My sleep, my eating, my forming a family, having children, raising children, being with friends, going out, shopping, everything is in line with the coming of the 12th Imam and therefore in line with ibadah and ubudiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we don't have this tawakkul, we can't, because we will have a mental barrier. Like, I can't do that, I can't do that, I can't do that. So I don't have these obligations. What do I do with my life? Oh, I have a lot of free time. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. My entire life from the beginning to the end has got to be ibadah of Allah. What does that mean? Pray 24/7, I'll die in less than a week. Is that what God wants? No, that's the problem. Go and find out. The reason why we mention working towards the coming of the Imam, as that is an obligation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَطِيعُوا اللَّهُ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولُ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ we have the obligation to go after the Imam of our time. That will be a lead for us to understand the specifics of what we need to do. And there are other leads in the Quran, in the Hadith, but the key, that Iman that will allow us to enter this, tawakkul ala Allah, relying only on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us in that. We ask the Ahlul Bayt to help us with that. We ask Imam al-Husayn to help us, inshaAllah. Sallallahu alayka ya mazlum. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. صلى الله عليك أيها الشهيد بكربلاء عطشانا May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you. My beloved Imam al-Husayn, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon you. My beloved oppressed Imam, the Imam who was slaughtered by the shores of the Euphrates, while his mouth was dry of thirst, Ruhi Fidak, Ya Mawla. We are approaching Arba'in. I want to do another form of mourning. I want to shed tears on our lack of ability to join the walk of Arba'in. It was just last year that we were all able to make it, joining all those millions of the followers and lovers of Hussein in the ocean pouring into Karbala. Ya Aba Abdullah, thank you for taking us. Thank you for allowing us to enter your haram. Ya Aba Abdullah, our hearts are there, but we can't come. We would see the images of all those walking from Amir al-Mu'mineen in Najaf towards Karbala. You can't help but to want to be amongst them, remembering all the experiences on the path to Karbala, entering the city of Karbala, getting close to the shrine of Imam al-Husayn, seeing the golden dome. As-salamu alayka, ya Aba Abdullah, wa ala al-arwah allati حلت بفنائك. You allowed me to come amongst all these zawar. You brought me close to you under your dome. You brought me close to your dareen. Ya Aba Abdullah.
All these lovers of the Ahlul Bayt, your lovers are wanting to come and visit you again. Ya Fatima al-Zahra, it's Thursday night. Some accounts say the Ahlul Bayt are in Karbala. The Lady Fatima al-Zahra is in the shrine of Imam al-Hussein. We said our salams, inshallah, our hearts are there. Ya Fatima al-Zahra, we beg you for an opportunity to come again and visit your son's grave. We've heard you're the one who invites, you're the one who accepts, you're the one who brings, you're the one who takes safely. Ya Fatima al-Zahra, but we also want to come and visit your grave in Medina. Lovers of the Ahlul Bayt, take your hearts to Medina, Fatima al-Zahra. These are actually the last few weeks of the life of the Prophet. Fatima al-Zahra is preparing. Fatima al-Zahra is seeing her father in bed, ill, in need of help. It's evident her father has said that that was Hajjatul Wida they all went on. The farewells have been given to the Ummah. Fatima al-Zahra is awaiting those times. She's preparing. Fatima al-Zahra is preparing her face to be slapped by the mal'oon. She's preparing her ribs. She's preparing her chest. Amir al-Mu'mineen, the times of your loneliness are about to begin. Not only will you miss the Prophet, shortly after you will have to miss seeing the smile on the face of Zahra, or even seeing the face of Zahra. Ya Fatima al-Zahra, sallallahu alayki, ayyatuha as-siddiqatu ash-shahida. Ya Fatima al-Zahra, we're all your orphans, we're all your children. We thank you for guiding us so far. We thank you for being patient with us. We're rebellious children to you, but you have kept us here. We ask you, we beg you, we have one wish. Despite all our disobedience and rebellious nature, we have one hope, one wish, that you take us to your son, the Mahdi. You allow us to be his soldiers. You allow us to be his companions. You allow us to see him. You allow us to please his heart. You allow us to be of the shuhada of his path, inshallah. Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimin. Wa sayya'lamu al-lazina zalamu ayyamun qalabin yanqalibun. Ya Hussein.
حسين يا 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 قائم 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 رو رو بلا رہے ہیں مولا رو رو بلا رہے ہیں آنسو بہا رہے ہیں مولا یا قائم 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 قائم رو رو بلا رہے ہیں مولا رو رو بلا رہے ہیں آنسو بہا رہے ہیں مولا یا قائم 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 یا حسین یا حسین یا حسین یا حسین اب بھی آتی ہے سکینہ کی صدائیں لوگوں ہائے زندانوں سے ابھی آتی ہے سکینہ کی صدائیں لوگوں ہائے زندانوں سے ابھی آتی ہے سکینہ کی صدائیں لوگوں ہائے زندانوں سے میرے بابا کو ملا دو میں دعائیں دوں گی سسکیاں لے کے جو کہتی تھی مسلمانوں سے ابھی آتی ہے سکینہ کی صدائیں لوگوں ہائے زندانوں سے ابھی آتی ہے سکینہ کی صدائیں لوگوں ہائے زندانوں سے ابھی آتی ہے سکینہ کی صدائیں لوگوں ہائے زندانوں سے بولے سجاد سکینہ یہ مقدر تیرا بولے سجاد سکینہ یہ مقدر تیرا بے کفن تجھ کو لیے پھر ہوں بازاروں میں اور لہو آج بھی جاری ہے تیرے کانوں سے ابھی آتی ہے سکینہ کی صدائیں لوگوں ہائے زندانوں سے ابھی آتی ہے سکینہ کی صدائیں لوگوں ہائے زندانوں سے میرے بابا کو ملا دو میں دعائیں دوں گی سسکیاں لے کے جو کہتی تھی مسلمانوں سے ابھی آتی ہے سکینہ کی صدائیں لوگوں آئے زندانوں سے ابھی آتی ہے سکینہ کی صدائیں لوگوں ہائے زندانوں سے جا کے مقتل میں پکاری یہ سکینہ رو کر جا کے مقتل میں پکاری یہ سکینہ رو کر میرے اکبر میرے قاسم تم کہاں ہو سارے میرے بابا کو بچاؤ آ کے شیطانوں سے ابھی آتی ہے سکینہ کی صدائیں لوگوں ہائے زندانوں سے ابھی آتی ہے سکینہ کی صدائیں لوگوں ہائے زندانوں سے میرے بابا کو ملا دو میں دعائیں دوں گی, سسکیاں لے کے جو کہتی تھی مسلمانوں سے, ابھی آتی ہے سکینہ کی صدائیں لوگوں, ہائے زندانوں سے ابھی آتی ہے سکینہ کی صدائیں لوگوں, ہائے زندانوں سے آٹھ آزان بیک فضا میں گونجی, آٹھ آزان بیک فضا میں گونجی, ثانی زہارا کے خطبوں کو دبانے کے لیے شور برپا کیا دربار میں آزانوں سے, ابھی آتی ہے سکینہ کی صدائیں لوگوں, ہائے زندانوں سے ابھی آتی ہے سکینہ کی صدائیں لوگوں, ہائے زندانوں سے. یا حسین 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 یا حسین. اللهم صل وسلم على محمد
صلى الله عليك يا رسول الله, صلى الله عليك يا خير خلق الله ويا خاتم النبيين وصفوة المرسلين, صلى الله عليك يا أمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب وصي رسول الله, صلى الله عليك يا فاطمة سيدة نساء العالمين, صلى الله عليك يا أبا محمد يا حسن بن علي أيها المجتبى, صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك, عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت, وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم, السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين جميعا رحمة الله وبركاته. صلى الله عليك يا غريب الغرباء ويا معين الضعفاء والفقراء, السلطان أبا الحسن يا علي بن موسى أيها الرضا المرتضى, صلى الله عليك وعلى آبائك وأبنائك جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. صلى الله عليك يا مولاي يا بقية الله يا حجة الله, عجل الله تعالى فرجك وسهل الله تعالى مخرجك وظهورك, وجعلنا من خير أعوانك وأنصارك والمستشهدين بين يديك, صلى الله عليكم يا أهل بيت النبوة جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته.